And we're holding on mem bays, omud bays, five lines, six lines from the bottom. We were discussing the issue of chetzia eved v'chetzia ben chodin, a person who is half slave and half free, and all the ins and outs of that. And the last thing we talked about was an eved who is who's chetzia in a different way, namely he's been freed, but he hasn't yet received a get shichur. So as he considered no longer an eved, or is he still considered an eved? So now a related question. We have a question. Eved shemachri rabbi l'knas l'knas. Suppose that a master sold his eved just for the knas. We talked about the last couple of days. The Torah tells us that if Reuven's ox gores Shimon's slave and kills him, eved knani that is, then Reuven has to pay 30 shkalim to Shimon, a fixed amount, as we're going to see soon, regardless of the actual value of the eved, even if the eved himself is worth far less than that. So now suppose that Shimon now goes and sells only the rights to the future knas to Levi. So you have not really the rights to the future knas, actually. Kosva says that for sure not, because it doesn't yet exist. But rather what he's doing is he's selling the eved for his knas. In other words, he's saying to Levi that I'm selling you, the aspect of the eved that I'm selling you is the aspect that if he gets gored and killed by a shur, that you will be entitled to collect the 30 shkolim. So mocher or ene mocher, is that sale valid or not? Is the slave considered sold insofar as that, and now Levi would collect it or not? And the Gemara points out, tibori l'Rav Meir, tibori l'Rav Banan. In fact, the question can be asked according to both Rav Meir and according to the Chachamim. Rav Meir holds in various places in Shas that a person could sell something davar shaloi bala olam. The Chachamim disagree. But we can say over here, as the Gemara is going to point out, that the question, it's not necessarily so simple as to say that Rav Meir would say, therefore, you could do such a sale, and the Chachamim would say you can't. In fact, the question could be according to either one of them. Tiboyle Rav Meir, the question can be asked according to the mayor, because ad kan like omer Rav Meir odem makna dover shaloi bala olam. You know when Rav Meir says that a person can be makna something that doesn't yet exist, k'gain peiros dekel da'avidi da'osu. Only, for example, Rav Meir would say that I can sell you the fruit that in the future is going to come from my palm tree, because that fruit regularly is going to come. It's true. Now, we're not talking about, in other words, there can be a case where you sell a palm tree lipei roisa. That's something else. That's, in other words, where I sell you the palm tree as only as far as its fruit, but the palm tree itself exists. So that's something else. Rav Meir would say you can sell the actual Paris Deco, for example. You can say that I'm selling you the fruit that in the future is going to come from that tree. And that would work, Davidi de Osu, because they regularly come. Every year, that tree will produce a crop of fruit. Abel Hocha, but here it's not necessarily that it's ever going to happen. Mi Yema de Mingach, who says that the Eber is ever going to be gored? The Imtim Tzalom, and that he's going to be gored and killed. The im tim tzalom de mingach, and even if he were to get gored by an ox, mimai de mishalim. How do we know that Reuven, the owner of the ox, would have to pay? Duma moide umiftar. He might be moide that his ox did it, and he would be potter because you have the rule moide beknas potter. The 30 shkolim is a knas. Anytime the Torah tells us an amount that you have to pay, which is not the actual, almost every time that the Torah tells us that you have to pay an amount which is not the actual amount of the damage, then it's considered a knas. Therefore, this 30 shkolim is an example of a knas, and that's what we called it before, a knas. And the rule is moedib a knas potter, that if Reuven admits to the claim before the whole thing is brought to Beis Din, then he's potter. So it's not even necessarily that it's ever going to happen that there's going to be a knas for Levi to collect. So therefore, the mayor might not hold that this is considered a valid sale. Tosfos points out that now there is anyway a difference in that the dates come directly from the tree, from the goof, whereas the knas doesn't really come directly from the goof of the Eved. Also Tosfos Yeshanim points out, and Tosfos in Bava Metzia at the beginning of Hamafkid also points out There, the Gemara uses a similar argument. You have at the beginning of Hamafkid, you have the discussion over there, Hamafkid Eitzel Chaveiroi Behemoi Kenem Benignavoi She'ovdu, where a shomer is watching something for somebody else and it gets lost or stolen, and he pays rather than swearing, even though he could have been potter from swearing, and he could have patted himself by swearing, that is. So we say over there that if the ganav is found, then he pays the tashlumi kefal or tashlumi abav chamisha to the shomer. And the Gemara asks over there, how is the shomer acquiring that kefal or that abav chamisha in the first place? And it uses a very similar argument to here, that Rav Meir would say payus dekel is one thing, but he, over there, who says the thing is going to be stolen? And even if it is, who says the ganav will be found? And even if yes, then who says the ganav will underpay in the kefal? Because again, he might be murdered. So Tosfos is showing him over here, and Tosfos over there points out that so the Gemara uses a very similar argument over there. There it takes it as a given that even Rav Meir wouldn't say that it's possible, whereas here is the Gemara is asking whether it's possible. So the answer in both places, Tosfos says, is that maybe the case we're talking about over here is a little more common than the case we're talking about over there. Maybe the fact that a person might be gored and killed by an ox is slightly more common than that you should have all those things that we said over there, that the thing is stolen, and that we catch the ganav, and that he's and that he's not moida, but rather ends up paying the kefal, is much, you need all those factors, so therefore it may be much less likely, and therefore the Gemara can assume there that even Rav Meir wouldn't, that even Rav Meir would allow it, whereas over here, the Gemara is asking maybe it would work. So the question can be asked according to Rav Meir, viti boi l'rabbanim. Similarly, the question can be asked according to the Rabbanim. Ad kan le'kamir rabban einon a makna dover shaloi b'loilam. You know when the Chachamim say that a person cannot be makna something that doesn't yet exist. Could go elok going peiros dekel exactly that. For example, the fruit of the tree dehashna mi'alesnu, because the fact is right now that fruit does not b'chlal exist. Aval hocha hakoy shor v'hakoy eved. Here the shor already exists. Where at the time the sale is done, the eved already exists. So therefore you could argue that maybe it's more dovish bala olam already. And therefore that even according to the Chachamim, the sale should be valid. The Rashba actually points out that on the face of it, usually when the Gemara usually says that you can't sell davar shelo bala olam, you're talking about those kinds of things. You have something where the thing already exists, and still the Chachamim say that you can't because the result of it, in this case the peiros or the knas, doesn't yet exist. So why should this be any different? So in fact, the Rashba explains that he's in effect what he's doing over here, he's selling the same way as the Chachamim say that you could sell a tree for its fruits, and that works because the tree exists. Dekel peiros, if it's called, the same way over here. Maybe you could say that you're selling the eved for his knas. And therefore maybe that would work, but on the other hand, maybe not. So therefore the Gemara is taking it that it is possible that it would work according to the Rabbanon as well. So what's the deal? So what's the story? What's the din? So the Gemara says, Amar of
Alexander.
Yeah.
When you say the Chachamim don't allow to sell something that was not into this world, the Rashalo Bali Olam, does that mean that they consider it as inexistent or illegal?
Not so much illegal, but in other words, it's not a valid sale. There's nothing to sell over there. In other words, yes, money changed hands. An Kenyan was done or whatever. But later on, when the payrus or the knas or whatever actually come into existence, then Shimon would have every right to say, if we say that a person can't sell davar shelo bala olam, he would have every right to say, there's really nothing that I sold you. You can have your money back, and I'm keeping the knas or I'm keeping the payrus or whatever.
No, because this exists in the entire economy today. You sell things that are not in existence. For instance, a house on contract that hasn't been built is sold before it's going to be built.
Okay, so there what you're doing is more you're contracting to build a house, for example. You're contracting with somebody that he will build a house for you, and you're going to pay him for the expected amount of labor. That's something else. And there are, again, according to the Chachamim.
No, it's not for the labor. It's for the labor and the materials.
okay. I mean, but you know, the point is, in other words, you're contracting with him for a job, not for a thing.
You're contracting for a thing. You buy a house on contract. You pay for the materials and the workforce both.
Okay, maybe. I don't know. I mean, again, the Chachamim will agree that you can, for example, that you can sell deka l'peroisav. I can sell you, for example, the aspect of my tree, the fact that it's going to produce fruit. So you can make things work in that way. But the actual house itself, if we were to make a kinyan and say, I'm selling you a house, which doesn't yet exist, then that wouldn't work. You can't sell davar shelo ba'olam. But you can buy, for example, that I'm buying the land from you. I'm buying your labor that you're going to be you're contracting with me, that you're going to do X amount of labor and put in X amount of materials and all that kind of thing. That's something else. That's not davar shelo ba'olam. Okay. I mean, we'll talk about it further if we need to, but let's go on. Anyway, so what's the din? Omer of Abba Toshma. So Rav Abba says, let's bring a proof from a braisa that we talked about yesterday about an eved of a koyin eating truma. So let's talk about that some more. A braisa says, when the pasuk says v'yilid bayis, that an eved who's born, the pasuk mentions that an eved who's bought with money or who's born in the house is able to eat truma. Ma tamad loymar. So you have to ask, why does it need to mention that bichlal? If even an eved who was bought with money, so at one point in his life, he didn't yet belong to this kohen, and still the fact that the kohen bought him allows him to eat truma, how much more so when he's yulid bayis, when he's born in the household already, where his mother was a shifcha in this household. So why does the pasuk even need to mention it? And the reason is, ilu kain, because if it only mentioned miknes kesef, and it didn't mention yulid bayisai, you would have thought, ma kinyan kesef, sheyesh bei shava kesef oichol. You know what? When is kinyan kesef able to eat a truma? Because because he has a shava kesef, he has a monetary value. After yulid bayis, sheyesh bei shava kesef oichol. So you would think only a yulid bayis who has a monetary value is able to eat truma. So where would we know that even if the eved is completely worthless, and we're going to explain in a second how that's possible, and then we're going to relate this back to this question of selling the eved for his knas. So suppose the eved is completely worthless, as the Gemara will explain in a minute how that could be. How do we know that he, nevertheless, being the slave of a kohen, he's able to eat truma? Tamad lemi yilid bayis mekomakim. Therefore, the pasuk says he was born in the house, regardless. Even so, he gets to eat truma. Vadayin ani oimer, but then you would still think to say, yulid bayis ben sheyesh b'shava kesef ben she'ein b'shava kesef oichol. So you would think, okay, so then fine. Are yulid bayis? Then you would say, because obviously he wasn't bought with money, so therefore it doesn't depend on his monetary value, whether he has a monetary value or whether or not he's able to eat truma. But you would think, kinyan kesef, but when it comes to an eved that was bought with money, you would think yesh by shava kesef oichol, ein by shava kesef ein oichol. Maybe he can only eat truma only if he has a monetary value, and not if not. In other words, let's say after he was bought, so the kohen paid a fair price for him, and later on Rashi explains, let's say he became a mukashchin, he was struck with boils or things like that that make him very repulsive, and you don't want to use him as an eved, but in practice he still belongs to you. Where would you know that he can still eat truma? Tamad lema kinyan kasbei v'yilid beisai. Therefore, the pasuk mentions them one after the other. Therefore, meaning in other words, we have a hekesh. Ma yulid bayis af b'shein ashava klum oichol. Just like the yulid bayis, as we just established, can eat truma even if he has no monetary value anymore at all. Af kinyan kasbei af b'shein ashava klum oichol. So it is with the kinyan kasbei as well. So always, and as long as the eved belongs to a kohen, he can eat truma. So, thus far the braisa. So now let's consider the isak daidach. So now let's see how this relates to this question of selling an eved for his knas. The isak daidach eved shemacher rabbi the knas macher. If you're going to tell me that it is a valid sale to sell an eved for the knas, well then an eved always has some monetary value. Mi ika abdud lemizdabin the knasa. Then how could there ever be an eved who is not sold for the knas? Meaning, in other words, given that it's gzeiras hakasu, that you always pay 30 sloim for the Eved when he was killed by a shur, whether he's, no matter how much he's worth, no matter how much or how little he's worth, then every Eved conceivably, even if the guy is mukashchin, then you could still find, nobody wants him as an Eved to work for him, but nevertheless, you could conceivably get Levi to buy him for the Knas, in the sense, again, that he belongs to Shimon, he belongs to Shimon for all other purposes. Shimon has to feed him. If Shimon wants him to do any work for him, he could, etc. And if Shimon is a Kohen, then he can eat Truma, but only insofar as the Knas, he would belong to Levi. So then, and that, if that worked, then that means he does have a monetary value. So then we wouldn't need the Pasuk to tell us the word Yilid Beisoy at all. So wouldn't that show, therefore, that you can, in fact, sell an Eved regarding his Knas? So fine, we can discuss whether that would be only according to the mayor or also according to the Chachamim, but at least we would see that the concept does exist. Now, Tosfos says, listen, after all, when you buy, now the Gemara is not saying that when the guy is mukashchin, that you might be able to find, that even if we say you can't sell him for the Knas, that conceivably there might be somebody who's willing to buy him for pennies on the dollar, even though he's mukashchin. Tosfos says, look, the fact is, you're still going to have to feed him then. It's true, technically, the Eved doesn't have to, the master doesn't have to feed the Eved. We learned earlier in the Masechta that technically the master is able to say to the Eved, "Asei mi ve'ene zonach, you have to work for me. I'm not obligated to support you." But still, people don't really want to do that. They don't want the Eved to be coming regularly to them for food when he's not really worth his keep. But when Mocher el Knas, where he basically still belongs to Shimon, and Shimon is still responsible for him, and the only thing Levi owns is the Knas, conceivably Levi might be willing to do that. Also, Tosfos says, listen, if you were to say that you're not able to sell him for the Knas, but you're able to sell him in general, then you wouldn't say he really isn't worth anything, because then in effect, it would really boil down to that. If we were to say that you can't sell him for the Knas, so then Shimon would go over to Levi and say, would you like to buy my Eved? So Levi would say, well, what am I going to get out of him? Work I can't get out of him because he's a mukashchin, and I don't want such a person to be doing work for me. The only thing that you'd be selling for me is the Knas. Well, then the Knas, if we're saying it doesn't work, then we'd be back to square one. So therefore, the fact that we're saying it's conceivable to have an Eved without any value shows you can't sell him for the Knas only. So therefore, that would answer our question. But the Gemara says not necessarily. Ain't. As a matter of fact, yes. Ika Eved Trefa. Suppose the Eved is already a Trefa. Now, in general, in Torah, when a person, or an animal for that matter, but here we're focusing on people, when a person is a trefa, for many purposes in halacha, we consider him as though he's already dead. Not for all purposes, he's still alive, he's still chayiv in mitzvahs. But for certain purposes in halacha, we consider, in particular halachas involving killing, we consider him as though he's already dead. For example, if a person were to kill a trefa, he wouldn't be chayiv misa for him. So by the same token, if Reuven's ox gores Shimon's Eved, who is a Trefa, then Reuven's not going to be paying the 30 shkolim. He killed Shimon's Eved, but for that purpose, Shimon's Eved is already considered dead. So you could say maybe the Braisa about Truma is talking about a case like that, where he's a Trefa, and therefore there's no Knas anyhow. That doesn't show that where there is a Knas, that he couldn't sell him for that. So the Gemara says, "V'hachazi l'meikam kamei." Okay, but then in that case, such an Eved would still be able to stand in front of his master and serve him. So Rashi gives examples. Let's say, for example, among the trefas of a person, let's say you have his leg was cut off above the knee by an animal. That would make the animal trefa, and by a person also, obviously, I guess if the wound is open or something, because mice and b'choyim that people have their leg amputated and they live for a long time. But anyway, whatever. In halacha, there's certain places where if the leg is amputated, then it's considered, and the person is considered a trefa. Another example, still Rashi says that he'd still be able to do easy work for his master. Or for example, if one of the membranes around the brain has a hole in it. Again, eventually he's going to die of it, like an animal would, a person will too, without medical treatment. But nevertheless, he could still serve his master. And the answer is, the menuvel, a mukashchin, we're talking about where he's filthy, or mukashchin and a knas. So in other words, we could say, we could say like this, a normal Eved has a value, in that he can work for you. Even an Eved Trefa, even so, an a normal Eved has both. He has a value that he can work for you, and if he gets killed by a shur, then there's a knas of 30 shkalim. An Eved who's only a trefa, it can still has a monetary value because he can still work for you. The knas of 30 doesn't apply. On the other hand, if he's only menuvel or mukashchin and not a trefa, then he doesn't have a value as far as working for you because nobody wants such an eved to work for them. But conceivably, we're saying there would be the knas, and we're asking the question whether the rights to that knas can be sold. And then you have he's both a trefa and a menuvel or mukashchin. That might be the case of the braisa where he has absolutely no potential monetary value at all, neither as far as working for you nor as far as the knas, no knas because it's a trefa, no working for you because it's a manuvel mukashchin, and nevertheless the braisa would still say that he still has the right to eat truma if he's the eved of the kohen. So you can't necessarily prove from this braisa whether there is a case where he's not trefa but only manuvel mukashchin, where therefore there is a knas, but there's nobody wants such an eved to work for them. So therefore, the only thing you'd buy such an eved for would be his knas. Would such a sale work? We can't really prove it one way or the other from the braisa. So the Gemara leaves the question open, and the result is it's a suffix. So the Rambam paskens exactly that. It's a suffix whether the sale is valid. If then that eved gets killed by a shur, and Levi goes, then Levi's not entitled to the 30 shkalim because as usual, amotzi v'chaber l'varaya. However, if he's toifes it, if he grabs a hold of it from when Reuven pays it, then Shimon can't take it away from him because then he's muchzik in the money. The usual kind of thing that we have when there's a suffix in matters of dinim ominous. Okay. Now the Gemara goes on to another question. Getting back to chetzi eved v'chetzi ben chorin. Iboilahu. Suppose this guy who's half Eved and half free, suppose he's Makadish, a Jewish woman. Now, the part of him that's a Ben Chorin is able to be Makadish, a woman. The part of him that's an Eved is not, because an Eved, the Kiddushin are not Tofus with. The Kiddushin are not relevant to him. So Mahu, what would be the din? So let's consider, the Gemara says, im timtza loymar. Now you could consider the possibility like this. We know that Ben Yisrael, we're going to learn about this in Kedushin in a few months, Be'ez Hashem. Im timtza loymar, Ben Yisrael sh'omu levas Yisrael iskadji l'chetz. Suppose that a regular Yid, not an Eved, says to a woman, he says to her, at Mekudeshes, to half of me. So that would work. The Gemara says not necessarily that would work, but the Gemara discusses in Kiddushin and says Mikudeshes, that would Lamaisa Lamaskana, it does work. And the reason why that works is because when he's saying be Mikudesh to half of me, in effect, what he's saying by that is I'm still reserving the rights to be Makadish and marry another woman as well before Cherem Dermen Agershim, obviously. So therefore, when he says Iskadji Lachetzki, then there is a validity to it. She is completely Makadish to him, but only half of him is Makadish to her, in effect. So if you're going to say that, well then, you could say the Chazi Lekula. You could say, you know what the difference is, though? There she is Roy to all of him. If he had said Ariat Makadishis Li, it would have worked. Hole Chazi Lekula. On the other hand, our case of the Chetzi Eved v'Chetzi Ben Chorin, she's not suitable to be married to all of him because half of him is still an Eved. So maybe therefore it wouldn't work. On the other hand, the Im Timtza Loymar, Ben Yisrael, Mekadesh Chatzi Isha, Einu Mekudeshes. On the other hand, let's flip the case around. What if a regular Yisrael says to a woman, half of you is Mekudesh to me? Then that does not. So in other words, Rashi explains what the Gemara is doing. Is it saying, oh, you're going to try to answer this question of the Chetzi Eved B'Chetzi Ben Chorin based on one of those cases in Kiddushin, but it's not necessarily exactly the same. Because when he says, Hiskadji L'Chetzi, she is a suitable wife for all of him, and he just said Chetzi, whereas he or she's not. And if, on the other hand, you're going to say, well, we have an example in Kiddushin where he's Makadish half of her and it doesn't work, and you'd say the same thing over here, but it's not necessarily the same thing. So if he says, I'm Makadish, half of you, that doesn't work because there's no such thing. She can't be a wife of two men at the same time. Therefore, there's no such thing as being Makadish half of her. So therefore, you would argue, So therefore, you would argue that the same way over here, it wouldn't work. Well, the difference is the shear b'kinyana. Well, the difference is the reason why that would work is because he's leaving something out of his kinyan. You have a half of her, which conceivably he could have included in the kiddushin, and he chose not to. And therefore, we say it doesn't work because you can't have kiddushin with only half a woman, because what's with the other half of her? The other half of her can't marry somebody else. On the other hand, v'ha eved l'shiur b'kinyano. On the other hand, here he's not leaving anything out. Whatever aspect of him, whatever half of him is able to be married to her, he is being mekadesh. The fact that another half of him is not available for kiddushin, fine. It's not available. That shouldn't prevent the kiddushin from the first half from being effective. So what is it? So what's the deal? So the Gemara says, Toshma, let's try to bring a proof from a braisa that we talked about yesterday. We said, Hamis Misha Chetzi Eved Chetzi Ben Chorin. We learned that if the case with the Shur killing the Eved. So again, we have Reuven's Shur kills Shimon's Eved, that is Chetzi Eved Chetzi Ben Chorin. We said, Noisen Chatzi Knas L'Rabbi. So what he'll have to do is he'll have to pay half the Knas to Shimon, the master of the Eved. And the other half of the kofer, so it's knas and kofer, because what it is with an eved, it's a knas in the sense that the Torah fixes the value at 30 shkolim. So I said it wrongly yesterday, actually, when we learned this. We also quoted this braisa. So it's not, I had said you give half the knas to the master and half the knas to the eved. So 15 and 15, I said it wrongly, actually. What it is rather that you give half the knas to the master, the 15 shkolim. Now, when a shur kills a regular yid, a ben chorin, then there's no knas. The knas is only when an eved is killed. Instead, what you have is koifer, which is that the owner of the ox has to pay an amount that's decided by beis din to the heirs of the to the yoshim of the victim. The Gemara discusses in Bava Kamma, is it dmei mazik? Is it dmei nizik? Is it basically meant as a kapara for the mazik, and therefore it should be his own monetary value, or is it basically meant as restitution for the fact that the nizik is killed, and therefore it should be the value of the nizik? Whatever it is, based in fixes the amount appropriately. So now in this case, the guy being chetzi eved b'chetzi ben chorin, so the braisa says he would pay half the koifer to the guy's yoshim. So he's paying half a knas and half a koifer. Now, points out the Gemara, the amit kiddush of lav kiddushin, if you're going to tell me that the kiddushin of a half eved and half ben chorin are... If you're going to tell me those kiddushin are not valid, yoshin minole, then how would there ever be any yoshim? If a chetzi eved, a chetzi ben chorin, is not able to marry, then he's never, and even if he does have relations with a woman, the children would not be considered his, then he has no yoshim. So what is the braisa talking about yoshim? So the fact that the braisa is saying that he has yoshim and that they're going to get half the koifer implies that it is possible for him to get married under these circumstances. So that would give us the answer. On the other hand, Omer Rab Adar Bar Abba Kshasoi Trefa. But Rab Adar Bar Abba says no, because what it could mean, the ox did not yet completely kill him. It only made him a trefa. It, for example, as we said before, it severed his leg above the knee, or it caused a hole in one of the membranes around his brain, or whatever, any of the other 70 trefas that could affect a person. So then, Umay Yoshev Nafshe, and Rab Adar Bar Abba says the word Yoshev doesn't necessarily mean that he has Yoshim. Maybe he's still not able to get married at that point. But it means himself. He himself, still being alive, is going to be able to collect that half a koifer. And then what happens with that after he dies? Okay, then we have to see. Omar Rabba, Shtei Chubas Bedover. Rabba says there are two problems with that answer. Chada de Yoshev Katani. First of all, the Braisa clearly says Yoshev. So that implies, in other words, that so you can't say that it means himself. You can't be doichik the word Yoshev to mean himself. Then why would the Braisa say that? If the Braisa meant that a case where he became a trefa, then it would say that that he collects the half of the koifer. There's no reason to mention Yoshev at all. And second of all, And second of all, says the Rava, but oid koifuhu, here we're not talking about the knas anymore. The knas, fine, maybe we could talk about applies even when the eved is alive as long as it's treifa, but when koifu is different. But omer Rish Lakish, koifu and mishtalim elalach hamisa. Rish Lakish says the koifu gets is payable only after the person actually dies. So in other words, Rashi explains, it's one thing, the knas, it never actually says in the pasuk that the eved was killed. It says, eved yigach asher ayama, if the asher gores of an eved or a slave or a maidservant, so then kesef shloshim shkalim, so that implies, in other words, that even if the eved or shifcha was made only a tshefa, then the guy is paying knas. But when it comes to koifer, the pasuk clearly says, behemis isha isha, he killed, the shur kills a man or a woman. So therefore, the knas is going to be payable only when the person actually dies. So therefore, Rav Adar Bar Abba's explanation doesn't work, says Rava, because then there's no himself. First of all, Yoshev can't really mean himself, but even if you were going to be Dosek and say that, yes, there's no kofa payable yet till the guy dies, and when the guy dies, he has no Yoshin. So wouldn't that show that he can marry when he's a chetzi eved v'chetzi ben chorin? But Ella Omar Rava says still not necessarily could he marry, not necessarily would it be a valid kedushin under those circumstances. Rather, it means roi little ve'enloi. It means he should be suitable to get, and eventually his yoshim would get. But ve'enloi, in practice, he has no yoshim. So in other words, what it amounts to, therefore, is there should be a half a kofer paid in this case, but the other guy, Ruven, the owner of the shur, is not going to end up paying it up because there's nobody to collect it. So when we say that he pays chatzi knas the rabbi, but chatzi koifer the yoshev, really Rava says what the b'raisa means is the half knas he pays to his master, the Shimon. As far as the half a koifer, in principle he should be paying the half a koifer, and if the victim had yoshim, then he would be giving them to him. But since in practice he has no yoshim, then therefore there's nobody to pay it to, and therefore he ends up keeping it. An interesting thing that a couple of Achronim discussed the question, why can't we say he was gored? He became a treifa, as Rav Adar Bar Abba said. Then at that point, his master freed him and he married a Bas Yisrael and he had children with her. So why can't we say that? And then it comes out that there would be a case where he has Yoshim. So there's a few different answers that different Achronim discuss on that. So the Shar HaMelech, one of the Mefoshim on the Rambam, gives an answer he says, evidently you see from this that a treifa, where the Gemara mentions in Chulin that a female animal or a woman who became treifa is not going to be able to bear children. It seems from this Gemara that also a man who became a treifa is not going to be able to father children. Well, if he's not able to father children, then therefore there's nothing to talk about. Even if his master had freed him. He still wouldn't be able to, and he were able now to get married, that still wouldn't enable him to have children. So that's one answer. There's a few different other answers that Achronim give on it. One point of the Chazon Ish makes a different point. He says, look, I mean, even if that were the case, the fact is these children weren't in position to be born when he was gored, because at the time he was gored, we're saying he's not able to do kiddushin, and therefore, even the fact that afterwards his status changed and he was able to wouldn't change the fact, and that wouldn't change things, and the fact would still remain that they're not able to yaushin the knas. And then again, there are various different other answers that Achronim give to find for this. The Rambam ends up paskening because of the suffix that the kiddushin are not valid. Actually, what the Rambam says is the suffix kiddushin. He says so it's a suffix kiddushin. So now, if this woman were to be mekudesh by another person, then it would be a suffix whether those would be valid kiddushin or not. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rava. So now Rava says, or on the side over here, it says maybe Rabba. Let's talk about, till now we were talking about an Eved who was a Chetzi, about a man who was a Chetzi Eved v'Chetzi Ben Chorin. Now let's talk about a woman, about a Shifcha, who is in that situation. What about if somebody is Mekadesh her? So Omar Rava, Kishem Shah Mekadesh Chetzi Isha Einam Kodeshes, just as a person who is Makadish, just as a person who is Makadish half a woman is not Makodesh, because as we just said, you can't be Makadish half a woman, because what happens with the other half of her? The fact is that a woman can't be married to two men. The same way, a woman who's chetzi shivah v'chetzi bas chorin, Rava says, the kiddushin would not be valid kiddushin for the same reason, because you're being makadish only half of her, the other half of her is a shivcha, and you can't be makadish her. Omalei Rav Chista, midami, but Rav Chista, so, and the Gemara continues, Dorash Rava Baravuna. Rava Baravuna gave the same Dorasha. Keshem Shem Makadish Chatzi Isha Einim Kodeshes, Kach Chatzi Shivcha V'chatzi Bas Kodesh Sen Kadja Einim Kodeshes. So Rava Baravuna gives the same Dorasha as Rava does. But Omalei Rav Chista, but Rav Chista says, how is that a midami? How is that a valid comparison? Hosam Shir, as we said before in the Gemara, Hosam Shir Mikinyone, the difference is, that when he's Makadish only half the woman, that when he's Makadish only half of a Bas Chorin, he's leaving out something that he could conceivably have included in his Kinyan. He could have said, all of you is Makodesh to me, and instead he's saying only half of you is Makodesh to me. So he's leaving out something that he could have included, and therefore we could say it's not valid. Hacha, lo shir b'kinyane. Here he's not leaving anything out. Whatever of her he's able to be Makadish, namely the half of her that's a Bas Chorin, he's being Makadish. The fact that the other half of her is not available, that shouldn't prevent that first half from being Chal. So the Gemara says, Rav Barav Huna realized that he had been wrong on that. Hoder oikim Rav Barav Huna amora alei v'dorash. So Rav Barav Huna instead set up and Amora in front of him to publicly announce what he's going to teach. V'darash, and he doush in the and he doush in as follows. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya that says, "V'amachshela hazois tachas yodcha." This stumbling matter is under your hand. The context of it is that Yeshaya is describing how there's going to come a point. There's going to come a point in Yerushalayim when people are going to grab a hold of a person and they're going to say, "You have clothing, you have food, you should be a leader over us." In other words, it's going to be a time when there's nobody available to exercise leadership properly. So people are going to grab a hold of any person who they think has any distinction to him and wanting to be a leader, and he's going to go on the posse, and then they tell things that people stumble over are in your hands, meaning you're familiar with them, and he's going to say, "No, you're misestimating me. I'm not that kind of person. I'm not capable of being a leader." So there's Gemara in Shabbos that explains that what's going on over here is the people think that this person is a great Talmid Chacham. They think that he has similar lacha, that even parts of Torah that are usually difficult to understand, that are covered up like a garment, you're familiar with them, even things that normally a person has to stumble over them in Torah, and only then he gets the right answer, you know them. And the Gemara says he's going to go on to say that, "No, you have me pegged all wrong. I don't know Mikra, I don't know Mishnah, I don't know anything, and I can't be your leader." The Gemara mentions over there that we see that even at the time of the Churban, there were always honest Erlecha people in Yerushalayim. Anyway, the point is that so now Rav Barav Huna is using that as the basis of his drasha. The pasuk says that you have things that a person stumbles over, that he gets wrong the first time, and he gets embarrassed about it. So because of that, that forces him to analyze the matter more closely and find the correct answer. So the same way, Rabbi Barav Huna is saying, I'm in the same situation. A person really only fully understands words of Torah after he stumbled over them and made a mistake and was called out on it, like here where he's called out by Rav Chista. And so therefore he says, no, the actual halacha is not like what I said before, that the kiddushin is not valid. And by the way, Maharal Shor points out that the first time around, it doesn't say anything about him setting up an amora in front of him. So the first one, so he says, maybe the rule is they would set up an amora, they would have that the Rosh Hashiva would darshan with an amora only where he's darshan in psukim. So before he was just saying a din without a pasuk, therefore he did it without an amora. Now that he's darshaning with a pasuk, then therefore he has an amora in front of him. And of course it means the matter is going to be better publicized. So he's saying, even though it is true that if a person is Makadish, or if a man is Makadish, a regular Bas Chodin, and he says, half of you is Makodesh to me, then she's not Makodesh, because we said before, a woman is not, only half of a woman is not suitable in Kiddushin, because what would happen with the other half of her? But when it comes to a Chetzi Shif of Chetzi Bas Chodin, where the Kiddushin were done with her, then it would be valid Kiddushin. My time, because exactly that. There he's leaving out something that he should have included. Here he's not. So therefore, that would be a reason for it to be a valid condition. So the Gemara continues. Omer of Sheshes, on the other hand, Rav Sheshes disagrees with that. He says no. He says like the original thing that we said from Rava and from Rava Bar Avuna. Omer of Sheshes, Kishem Sham Makadosh Chatzi Isha Einem Kodeshes, Kach Ketzi Shifchom Chatzi Vastrochin Eskadra Ein Kedusha Kedushin. No, Rav Sheshes says it's not a valid Kedushin. Vim Loch Shach Adam Loimar. So now, if somebody is going to whisper to you, says Rav Sheshes, and tell you, I have a question. I can show that's not so, and that it should be valid condition. Because what about, you have a Mishnah in Chrysos that we talked about a couple of days ago about Shifcha Harufa. Ezu hi Shifcha Harufa. What is the definition of a Shifcha Harufa, where the Torah tells us that if a different man other than her husband is Mizana with her, then she gets Malkus and he brings a korban Asham. So Zush Chetzi Shifcha Chetzi Bas Korban. Would be where she's half slave and half free. Ham urosala eved ivri, who is more recess to an eved ivri, because an eved ivri is the one who usually would be able to marry her. Actually, Rashi points out that maybe we're talking about any other yid as well, because again, we can be talking about whether the according to this possibility, you would be saying that it is, and according to what we said before, according to Rav Chista and according to Rav Bar Avuna, after he changed his mind, it would be valid kedushin. Even a regular Yisrael would be able to be Makadosher. According to that, the reason why we're mentioning an Eved Ivri is because typically an Eved Ivri would be the one who would marry her, because he can marry both halves of her. As an Eved Ivri, he's allowed to marry a Shifcha Knanis. And of course, as a Yid, he's allowed to marry a Bas Chodin. So therefore, all of her is suitable as a wife for him. But nevertheless, Rashi says it would work even with a regular Yid as well. Anyway, the point is, Alma, sort of Shecha says, so you would argue Bas Itrusihi. So that would imply, therefore, that such a woman is capable of Erusin, because the expression in the Mishnah over there is Hamur Rosal Eved Ivri. So you're going to say from that shows that it would be valid Kedushin. Emor Loi, tell such a person who brings up that argument to you, Kloch Eitzah Rabbi Shmuel, go and look at Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, who disagrees with Rabbi Akiva's definition of. So that was Rabbi Akiva's definition of a Shifcha Harufa. Rabbi Shmuel disagrees with that definition. Shahu Oimer, he says that no, a Shifcha Harufa is B'Shifcha Knanis, a full fledged Shifcha Knanis. None of her was freed yet. Hamorosa la Eved Ivri, and she's Morosa to an Eved Ivri, who again is the only one who's the only kind of Yid who's allowed to marry a Shifcha Knanis. So now you can ask, why is he using the expression Amurasa? The Shifcha Knanis Basi Tirosahi. Is a full Shifcha Knanis able to do Erisin? Of course not. So rather, you would have to say the word mu'reses doesn't actually mean the technical definition of erusin. He just means that she's a miuchedes, she's reserved for this eved, but not necessarily that a formal erusin has taken place. Hachanami, my mu'reses miuchedes. The same way you could explain when Rabbi Akiva uses the word mu'reses by the chetzi shifta, the chetzi baschurin, not necessarily does he mean that's an actual erosin that would be valid. Maybe all he means is, in other words, she's miuchedes, she's reserved for this person as a wife. The assumption is they're going to get married, but there's not an actual necessarily is there an actual valid kedushin involved over here. So therefore, sort of Shecha says, so you can well say that the kedushin is not valid. So here actually the Rambam does end up paskining that the Kedushin is valid, and this is brought later on in Shulchan Aruch. The Ran actually asks how come. Before we said by the man it's a Suffolk Kedushin, and here we're saying by the woman it's a Vaday Kedushin. So the Abnei Milurim explains, because there's a difference between the Makadish and the Miskadeshes. He would say basically that needs a full person to do an act of kedushin. So therefore, and he's only half an eved. So maybe it doesn't work. Therefore, it's a suffic kedushin. Whereas kedushin can be done to a half a person, and therefore the Rambam would say that it is a valid kedushin. Incidentally, before actually when we talked about the eved having yoshim and whether he's able to get married, Tosfos had pointed out that actually, if you say, we were saying before that if the Eved is not able to do Kedushin, where would he have a Yoshim? The question is, Tosfos says, since when does a Yerushim depend on Kedushin? Even if you have, for example, a man is Mezana with a woman, let's say a man is Mezana with an Eishes Ish. There's no kedushin or not Tosfos, of course, but his son is still considered his son and Yoshin's from him. So Tosfos says, okay, the answer is because there at least a man is mezana with a woman, at least he is capable of doing kedushin with somebody else. Here, if he's chetzi eved chetzi ben chorin, it's impossible for him to do. If we're going to say that because of that, it's impossible for him to do kedushin, then he's not even shayach to kedushin. So therefore, we're not going to say the son has no yichus after him and wouldn't yarshin him.
Okay. Alexander, one question: Someone who is not a baal das or a baal das.
Yeah.
Cannot marry a shoti, somebody like that. You could pashtus. Say that, right, the pashtus, you could say that he's not a full person because he's not a baal das, okay. And that's why he cannot get married. So how would that apply? And that would conflict with what we're saying now.
Well, actually, in the end, we're saying now that if a man is Makadish a woman, then no, we're saying he has to be a full Ben Chorin, and if not, then it's Suffolk Kedushin. But the Kedushin depends on Das. A Chetzi Eved Chetzi Ben Chorin has Das. The question is whether there's enough of him that's free for the Kedushin to be Tofus. A Shoita is something else. He has no Das to be able to do Kedushin. A Shoita, by the way, first of all, we did learn in Yevamos, the Chachamim were Mesakin for a Cheresh, even though a Cheresh also lacks Das, the Chachamim were Mesakin. Second marriage for a cheresh and a cherishes. The only reason they didn't do it for a shoita is because realistically nobody's going to want to live with a shoita, and therefore there's no reason to make such a takana. But in fact, a cheresh, there is kedushin. A katana, we know kedushin can be done by her father. A katan can't be makadish. Yes. So in other words, you need das, but you also need a full person. So it's not so much no. So when you're saying that a shoita is not really a full person, it's not so much there. The lack of personhood is more the lack of das. Here we're talking about the lack of Jewish personhood as to be able to do kedushin. Let's go on. Omer of Chista. Chetzi shivcha v'chetzi baschorin sh'niskad shalurubin. Suppose you have, now let's, chetzi shivcha v'chetzi baschorin. Suppose that Reuven, one brother, was Mekadosh. So we just said according to Rabba Bar Rav Huna and according to Rav Chista and Rabba Bar Rav Huna, that would work. Those kedushin are chal. So now Reuven was makadosher. V'nishtachra, then she was freed completely. V'chozer v'niskad shel Shimon Achiv, and then she goes and accepts kedushin from Reuven's brother Shimon without Reuven divorcing her, and Reuven is still alive. Umesu shnehem, and now both Reuven and Shimon die. So Rav Chista says, Misyabemes the Levi. She can now do Yibum with Levi, their surviving brother. And the point is, Ve'ein ani koda ba'eshes shnei mesim. Now we don't apply to this the case that we learned in Yevamos about Eshes shnei mesim. We had examples there in Yevamos. Rashi gives one such example. We had a case over there where you had three brothers. You have three brothers over there, also Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. One of them, Reuven, dies. Shimon does Mimer with Mimer, which is the Kedushin Dirabanan that you do with the Yevama, with this woman. Then Shimon dies. So now we said that Levi can't do Yibum with her because now she's called Eishes Shnei Mesim. She has a Zika from both of them. From Reuven, there's an unsatisfied Zika because the Mimer is only Koina Dirabanan. From Shimon, on the other hand, you have a certain degree of Zika as well because of the Mimer that he did with her. Therefore, and since the pasuk says, so you learn from that if she's Eishes Shnei Mesim, if she has a connection, a zika to two men, then she can't do Yibum. So therefore, On the other hand, says Rav Chista, here it's not an issue. Levi would be able to do Yibum with her. Because Rav Chista says, in this case, you have to consider, we're saying it's a suffix whether the Kiddushin are valid or not really. So E Kiddushin did Reuven Kiddushin. If Reuven's Kiddushin were valid, if they were Tophis, then Kiddushin to Shimon Lav Kiddushin. Then Shimon's Kiddushin are not considered Kiddushin because when she gets freed, at that point, Reuven hasn't divorced her yet. So at that point, the Kiddushin spreads to all of her. And therefore, now she's completely Reuven's wife, and there's no room for Shimon's kedushin to be tofus in her. The e kedushin to Shimon kedushin. If you're going to say that Shimon's kedushin are valid, would have to be kedusha to Reuven lav kedushin. It must be that Reuven's kedushin are not kedushin, because in other words, we would say that kedushin do not work by a chetz yeshivcha and chetz baschoren. Only when she's completely free and Shimon is makadosher, only then does she become his wife. So she'd be exclusively Shimon's wife. So because of that, she's either exclusively Reuven's wife or exclusively Shimon's wife. Then she's able to do Yibum with Levi. So all it is now she says we have the suffix because of the machlokas amaroyim before. So we have the suffix, which one was it, Reuven or Shimon? But here it doesn't really matter. Either way, both of them are brothers of Levi. Either way, both of them are brothers of Levi, and therefore Levi can do Yibum with her. Tosfos actually learns differently. Tosfos says it's not because of the machlokas amaroyim. Rav Chista himself said before that's kiddushin. In fact, even Rav Baravuna, he said, changed his mind because of Rav Chista's argument. So rather, Tosfos says, no, the question would be, when she becomes fully a bas chorin, does that now allow the kedushin of Reuven to completely extend over all of her? So now she becomes Reuven's full-fledged wife. Or on the contrary, maybe we say, now that she was freed, maybe that changes her status. Maybe now that takes away the kedushin that existed until now on the half of her and maybe leaves her available for Shimon to be Makadosher. So that would be the suffix. But we're saying it doesn't matter either way. She's exclusively at any one time the wife of only one of them, and therefore Levi can do Yibum with her. On the other hand, Itmar. So now we have a further discussion. What about if we're not talking about brothers? What if we're talking about two unrelated people? So Itmar, chetz yeshivcha v'chetz baschoren, she niskadcha l'Reuven. So suppose she was mekodesh to Reuven, and we have the discussion before among the Amiroyim whether that works or not. V'nishtachra, then she was freed, v'chozer v'niskadcha l'Shimon, and now she was niskadish to Shimon, and Shimon is not necessarily a brother of Reuven. So does that work? Rab Yosef Achama Om Rab Nachman Poku Kiddushin Rishin. So Rab Yosef Achama says in the name of Rab Nachman that the Kiddushin of the first one disappear. In other words, even if we go like Rav Chista and like Rav Baravuna, that she is Mekudeshes, but once she's freed, now her goof has changed. Now she's considered like a Giyoris. Gershin is Gary Kotten Shinner the Dummy. So now it's considered as though she was reborn, and therefore the Kiddushin from the first one go away. So now the second one's Kiddushin Achal. Rab Zera, Amar Rab Nachman, on the other hand, Rab Zera says also in the name of Rab Nachman, Gomru Kiddushin Rishin, the first one's Kiddushin are completed up until now. They were only on half of her. Now it extends to all of them. Meaning, in other words, Rashi says, up until now, there was a degree of Kiddushin to the extent that if somebody else was Mezana with her, then he'd be Chayiv and Oshem and she'd be Chayiv Malkus. Now, when she becomes completely free, now Rav Zeira is saying the Kiddushin become complete. Now if she commits Nus, then she and then the guy she was Mezana with are going to be Chayiv Misa. So Omer Rav Zeira, Kavosei Didi Mestabra. So Rav Zeira says, given that we have Rabbi Yosef Achama and I are disagreeing what Rav Nachman said, but it's more logical to accept my version of what Rav Nachman said. Dichtiv, because again, by the Shivcha Harufa, you have the expression, the Pasuk says, Lo Yumosu, Lo Yumsu, Ki Loi Chuposha. The Shivcha, the Chetz Yishivcha v'Chetz Yibaschorin, according to Rabbi Akiva's definition, we said on Amar Aleph, and the man who was Mezana with her, they are not put to death, ki loy chuposha, because she has not been free. Meaning, in other words, because she's only half free, she's Chetz Yishivcha v'Chetz Yibaschorin. Now, says Reb Zera, the implication is, ho chuposha yumasu. So the implication is, if she had been completely freed, then they would be put to death. Now, why? Because Evidently, what we mean is, again, she's mekudesh to an Eved Ivri, or maybe even, like Rashi said on Amud Aleph, maybe even to a regular Yid. If at that point she's Mizana, then she's only getting Malkus, and the man who was Mizana with her is bringing the Korban. But now if she gets Chuposha, if she gets completely freed, then they're upgraded to Misa. Why? Because the same Kedushin now go on all of her. So therefore, that would be Gomru Kedushin. The Kedushin that Eved Ivri, or whoever it is, made with her, now become fully extended over all of her, and now it changes from Malkus to Misa. So you see from that, says Reb Zera, that it's not Toku, like it doesn't, not that the Kedushin disappeared like Reb Yosef Achama said. Omale Abaya, but Abaya says to Reb Zera, Ulotan Dveda Bishmal Dama Bishivcha Knanis Amuresis Le'Evid Ivri. So what are you going to answer? So how are you going to explain in that case? How are you going to explain according to Tan Dveda Bishmal that we said on Amud Aleph, who says we're not talking about where she's half free and half slave. We're talking about she's a full Shivcha Knanis and she's Muresis to an Evid Ivri, where we said on Amud Aleph doesn't really mean Muresis, just means that she's Miyuchedis, she's reserved for him as his wife. Whatever. So what would you say then that would you say then the same thing? So if she was Mizana at the time when she was a Shivcha Knanis, then she's and she's Mekudesh to the Eved Ivri, and she's Moresis to the Eved Ivri, then she's getting Malkus. But now if she were completely freed, then that same Kedushin with the Eved Ivri would make her Chayav Misa? Of course not, because there were no Kedushin in the first place. So therefore, what must the Pasuk be implying by Lo Chuposha? It just means that after the kiddushin, after the chuposha, after the freedom, after the shikur, if she were to be mekudesh at that point, then she'd be chayiv misa for being mezana. So therefore, according to Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, obviously you'd have to understand the scenario that way. The pasuk is telling you again that she was mekudesh, meaning miyuchad, really, to the Eved Ivri. Then at that point, if she's Mizana, she's Chayiv only Malkus, and the man who was Mizana with her was Chayiv a Korban. Then afterwards, if she's freed, and then somebody is Makadish her, because now, up until now, no Kedushin were possible, then she'd be Chayiv Misa. Well, then according to Rabbi Akiva, you could say the same thing. The Pasuk is implying the same thing. She was a Chetz Yeshivcha, the Chetz Yabas Korban. She was Mekudesh to an Eved Ivri. Now she gets freed. Maybe like Rabbi Yosef Achama says, the Kedushin now disappear. Now, if she's Mekudesh again, whether to the same man or a different man, and then somebody else is Mizana with her, then there's Misa involved. But not necessarily to say, like Rabbi Zera, that it would, that the original Kedushin would extend out over all of her. So again, Rashi says the vote is that you could say Gomru Kedushin, because you could say, in other words, that the Shichru, the fact that she was freed, means, in other words, that now the kid, so you could say that Poku, the Kedushin, disappeared because now she's considered a different person, or maybe you could say that the status still remains the same as before. Tosfos further talks about the idea. And that again, before there was no shiur, there was no part of her that could have been niskadish that wasn't, and now there is. So therefore now there's something lacking in the kedushin, and therefore we can argue that we certainly can't say. In other words, the point is both Rashi and Tosfos are addressing the point. We certainly can't say that it remains a kedushin as it was before. Something has to change over it. Either like Rabbi Yosef Achama says, paki, that they disappear and have to be done again, or like Rabbi Zera says, that they remain as is, but certainly you can't say they remain the same as before because her status has changed. Okay. The Gemara finishes off. Amar of Huna Bakhtina, Amar of Yitzchak. It happened once there was a certain woman who was chetz yeshivcha v'chetz baschorin. The kof was rabba v'asa ben chorin. They forced her master to free her completely. Now we learned in the Mishnah, by an eved you do that, but by a shivcha we didn't say anything about that. So the Gemara asks, Kiman k'Rab Yechon ben Bereka. Well, which opinion were they following when they did that? Were they following the opinion of Rab Yechon ben Bereka? And the Omar that he says in Yevamos, where we talk about over there, that a man is chayiv and periyavariv, yeah? But Rabbi Yechon and Berukha says, no, al shneyem u'oymer v'yivorach oisim alikim v'yem v'gem v'pru avu v'milu v'gemer. He says that when it says the pasuk, pru avu in Parashas Bereishis, Rabbi Yechon and Berukha says, the fact is it says Hashem said to them, v'yivorach oisim v'yem alahem. So it means that pru avu, he says, is equally incumbent on the man and on the woman. So therefore, according to him, then the same principle that we had in our Mishnah, where Bishamai argued and Basil ended up agreeing to them, that you have to enable the person to be able to accomplish pru avu, and therefore you have to force the master to divorce him. Apparently, the same thing would be the Shifcha Knanis as well, according to Rabbi Yechon ben Berukha. So, were they following that opinion? The answer is not necessarily. What was going on over here was people were treating her hefker. As we learned about a similar case the other day, people were being mizana with her and she wasn't taking care to avoid that. So therefore, there was a michshol for people, and therefore the chachamim forced her master to free her. As we talked about the other day, there's a mitzvah rabbah involved. And therefore, that would be reason, even though normally it's an iser, even though we learned before, it's an eser to not free an eved. But in this case, where there's a michshol, where the rabbim are sinning with her, then therefore that would be a reason to force the master to free her. But ordinarily, we wouldn't, because a woman, the halacha is a woman is not chayiv and pru avu. Okay, let's start the Mishnah and see what we can get with it. The Mishnah says, "Hamoicha abdu l'ovdi kachavim." If a person sells his Eved Knani to a goy, or he sells the Eved to a yid who lives in Chutz La'aretz. Now, the problem is that now this Eved is not going to be able to. So when he's sold to a goy, he may not be able to continue keeping mitzvahs at all. The goy is not necessarily going to let him. And when he sells him to a yid who lives in Chutz La'aretz, at least the Eved is going to be losing out on the mitzvahs at Tluyas Varetz. Now he's not able to do mitzvahs that apply only in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, Yotza ben Chorin, therefore the Chachamim penalize the original master and say that the Eved goes free. So Rashi explains, it means two possibilities. It means either if he runs away from the Goy, then he automatically becomes free. And then the original master can't say, I can't demand him back. Or it would mean that we penalize, that Beis Din will actually penalize the original master and require him to buy back the Eved from the Goy and then free him, because he was taken away from doing mitzvahs. Actually, we'll see in the Gemara, Rashi points out who gets penalized in the case where he sold him to a Yid, who gets penalized, the original owner or the second one. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Hamoicha Abdel Oed Kachavim Yotza L'Cheiros. So if he sells his Eved to a Goy, then the Eved automatically goes free. But the tzorach get shichru merabi rishon, but he still needs a get shichru from the original master, because as we learned the other day, there's a kinyan mamun when it comes to avodim. There's also a kinyan isur, the fact that an eved is not allowed to marry a bas yisrael. The knas of the chachamim can take away the mamun aspect because hefker based in hefker. It can't take away the isur aspect. Therefore, you still need a shtar shichru. When would that apply? Only if he didn't write an oinoi for the Eben. An oinoi is a shtar. Specifically, it's often used to mean a shtar in connection with avodim or parka or whatever. One point is that the word oin in Tanakh means strength. So an oinoi is a shtar that gives strength, that gives koyach from one person to the other. But Rav Shimon Gamliel says, I will cost of all of oinoi, but if he wrote an oinoi for the Eved, zehu shichru, then that itself amounts to the shtar shichru, and therefore you don't need anything further. So what is this, my oinoi? What exactly would be written in the oinoi that would accomplish that? Amrav Sheshes, the cost of lay means the master writes out a document and gives it to the Eved when he sells him to the goy. Hachi, he writes like this. If you run away from this goy, aimly esek bach, then I have no further dealings with you. Meaning, in other words, in effect, he's saying, if you manage to get away from this master, then I have no ownership over you anymore. So therefore, Rav Shimon Gamliel says that's enough to amount to a shtar shichru. It amounts to a shichru al tnai. Basically, he's saying al tnai that you're able to escape from this goyish master, then this shichru that I'm giving you now should take effect. So therefore, that works. Tosfos points out Now, it's one thing when we have to remember, we learned the other day, and we're going to learn more in the Gemara coming up, that a goy, when he buys an Eved Kanani, is really buying only Maisi Yodav. He doesn't really own, he doesn't really own the goof of the Eved. So that's why the original master is able to write a shtar for him. We talked about the other day, we had a Meimar saying, Hamafka Abda Emle Takona. So a Meimar would not be contradicted by the Mishnah over here, because there we're talking about he was Mafku the Eved completely, whereas over here the Yisrael still retains a certain ownership of the Eved's goof. So that works. So we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, talking more about these dinim, about when you sell an eved to a goy, and when you sell him to a yid outside Eretz Yisrael, and we'll get into all the details of the knas that we mentioned in the Mishnah over here.
Yeah.
Shabbat shalom, everyone.